Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. We'll be taking callers at the half hour, and the number is 646-716-9663. Give us a call. Get a confirmation. Ask a question. Seek some wisdom about your life. Today, I am very pleased to have a very powerful, dynamic, psychic, Gary Wimmer. Gary, are you there?
Yes, I think I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very well, at least I can. So, Gary, you've been doing many, many spiritual things for a very long period of time. Do you want to give us a brief bio of your life?
Sure. I'm actually the third of seven sons. I have two brothers, a year older than me and 2 years older than me, born exactly a year apart on December 8th. I came along on November 8th in 47. They were 45 and 46. And I had four younger brothers, so I watched a lot of competition between my older brothers, and we were raised Catholic, and, you know, Catholic boys going through puberty. We asked a lot of questions. And by the time I got to college, I knew that what I'd thought was the truth in the Catholic Church was just a little picture of something. So thanks to some people in the 60s, they turned me on to Edgar Cayce and Madame Blavatsky and a lot of other psychics and spiritualists. And a lady I met did an astrology chart for me while I was an electrical engineer and said, "You have a lot of natural psychic ability." And so I started looking into it after I got out of college. It seemed to kind of come naturally to me. I learned how to give readings with just regular playing cards and different methods I read from books at the time, a little bit of tarot, a little bit of palmistry. But I primarily used just a regular deck of cards. See, I seemed to have developed my own system, a little bit of numerology, a little bit of everything. Then in 1977, I had a very, very fascinating experience. Wish I could press a button and give everybody such an experience. I went through a week of highly escalating psychic ability that seemed to just come out of the clear blue. And by the second or third day into this, I had no idea where the off switch was. I was picking up things about people all the time, everybody. I couldn't just deal with normal life. And this got more and more complex over the next week. And then at the end of that week, I was as a pedestrian, I was hit head-on by a speeding car. And I went out to the universal mind, the mind of God, the infinite blue, the perfect void. I've got a lot of ways to describe it, I suppose. Infinite love is probably the most appropriate. And felt like I was there for an eternity. And then for a lot of reasons, which I wrote in the book, I was drawn back into reality and the physical universe and saw my body in the street and jumped in and was leaped to my feet in front of a bunch of startled witnesses. So anyway, it was quite an experience in my life. I wrote a book about it called The Second Eternity, but what I learned in that period, in that just those few seconds, was confirmation of what I've been experiencing all week, about how we can pick up, our subconscious mind picks up so many signs about things. I mean, the wall between subconscious and conscious mind dissipated for me for a week, so I could feel what my conscious mind was thinking and what my subconscious was thinking at the same time. And it was the most intense experience of my life. But after the visit to the infinite mind, I came back and it was it's affected me every day since. And this is 1977. I was also traveling as a musician. And then in 1980, I met a lady who was very, very good psychic. And she basically kind of nurtured me, I guess, over the last, since 1980. She taught me how to read stones, a method called lithomancy. And I started using it from that day forward, became my main system. And still today, I'm one of the few people who does it. I work at a lot of psychic fairs and so forth, and I'm the only person who's actually reading stones, patterns of stones, dropped into a circle. And I wrote a book about this called Lithomancy, the Psychic Art of Reading Stones, because there was nothing written on it. About 15 years ago, I was trying to find out how other people did it, and couldn't find anything written about it, so I thought, well, I'll write a book about it. So that's kind of the short story of my life, how I got interested in psychic ability and my near-death experience in 77 and learning lithomancy and traveling as a musician through most of my life. Last couple of years, I've just decided to do psychic work full-time. I'm not quite as young as I was 30 years ago and not quite as in demand as a musician, so to speak, which is fine with me.
What do you think your greatest spiritual experience has been, besides being hit by a car into a parallel universe or a dimension where, you know, where things were different and coming back unharmed? What has been your greatest spiritual experience besides that?
Well, that's such a big number one. Everything else is, that's like 100, and everything else is like in the 2 to 5 and 7 range, I suppose. But I will say this, probably the most, it's probably a series of incidents that have confirmed what I experienced then, when I was completely connected to the infinite mind, was not separated, so to speak, because that's what pulled me back is separation, and that's how we're all here. We're separated from infinite mind, infinite love. So every time I feel that connection, whether it's psychically, intuitively, I pick up something, or I feel love from somebody, or I watch problems in the earth get solved because people use their heads instead of their fists and their minds and hearts instead of their military. There's a lot of incidences, I guess, that affect me now in a very touching way, because it shows me that the universe is getting better, the world's getting better, we're learning more, we're becoming more aware of things. So I see a lot of, every time I feel one of those incidences, which is, you know, I can have 2 a day or 1 every decade, but I guess the verification of the light being with us.
That's very good. And what is your website, Gary?
It's GaryWimmer.com, GaryWimmer.com.
And, of course, we can contact you there for a reading or any other services we need. So,
yeah, that's my homepage. I need to update my website. So if you get on GaryWimmer.com, just go to the bottom right picture or where it says psychic, because I'm also an actor and a writer and a musician, and that's all on my homepage. But yeah, GaryWimmer.com, click on the psychic link or go to GaryWimmer.com/psychic. Or you can find me by Googling Reading Stones because of my book, Lithomancy, The Psychic Art of Reading Stones.
So do you have special stones? Like, do you have a stone that has been with you 10 years or 20 years? And do you pick out, do you change your stones out?
What happens more than me changing them is I've lost a set, and so I started over about, I guess, 13, 14 years ago. The set I had in Europe somewhere in the move back here I couldn't find, so I selected other stones. That's the set I'd had before that. I'd had since 1980 till about 2000. I had about 20 years. And once in a while a stone would crack, or I'd want to get a different stone for some reason. They have different characteristics, and whether they point, how they hover, whether there's markings on them. I learned to see how they point, influence, how they connect with each other by the very features they have, you know. So I don't want to use all white marbles. I like colorful, jagged stones with real characteristics. Sometimes one breaks, cracks. And one time my love stone cracked, and I glued it back together, super glued it, because it's a little crescent. And I thought, I'll never find a stone like this. I'm going to make this one work.
Oh, and does the reader pick out the stones, or are they the same stones always, and just by where they land in the circle, they give you a picture or insight, or does the reader...
If I do them in person or at a festival, or someone comes over and I do a reading, I let them charge the stones up and also put this... I've got a piece of leather. It's probably a real thin piece of leather. It's probably about 3 feet long, tied in a circle. So it makes a circle about 14 inches in diameter. And I'll lay that out and have the person charge the stones or rub them in their hands. And because of the law of physics, I don't want to have them all drop them in one little pile or all over the room. So I give an approximate height to drop them just so it'll be somewhat easily readable distribution. If they're all in one pile, it's real hard to separate in terms of time. So after that, I let them drop the stones, and wherever they do land, I read them, even if they're piled up. And I start in the center, and the stones that are right, like the center of the clock, so to speak, the center of this circle. And I read up to the top, which is 12 o'clock, the start of the first week. And so I read around from 12 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, like sections of a pie, and it gives me an idea of what's going on over the next 12 months and what it's leading towards and why. And if stones land outside the circle, they tend to mean longer things longer term, further away, beyond the environment or all the above. And if they land on top of each other, how they touch, how they connect, how they interrelate to the circle, how they point, how they cluster together. All those physical things, to me, it looks like a roadmap.
That must be very, very interesting. And the client, if someone who's had 20 or 30 tarot readings or something, the reader, the person getting it done, must feel very, very different inside when they look at these stones laying there than when they just look at tarot cards. So it's almost like you take them to a new dimension to give them the reading. So I like that.
To me, it's a very visual art. And the thing I like about it, not only because it's time-based, it allows me to see what's going on and why and what it's leading toward. So I like the visualness of it. I like it that no two patterns are ever going to be the same, ever. When I was in Europe, this is a little interesting twist. Many times, I lived in Europe all through the 90s, in Denmark, in Copenhagen. And a lot of times people would ask me for readings when I didn't have my stones. And one time I thought, well, I'll just use whatever is available. So in my apartment upstairs, I had them arrange a beer can, an ashtray, a guitar string, a trinket, a coin, a cup of tea, a spoon. In any order they wanted around a certain area of the table, I'd go walk out of the room and tell them to arrange it and come back, and I would read whatever they laid out, just by thinking in terms of symbolism. And the reason I realized not only I can do that, but everybody can do that, is because in 1977 I saw that so profoundly, how symbolism is just in everything all the time. Having gone to the extreme like that, it's real easy to read a beer can or stones or other things. Of course, everybody gets everything.
I don't think so. A good friend of mine, she reads seashells, and when I was in Africa, I've had many bone readings, and they would draw a circle on in the dirt, and they would throw different bones and pieces and down, and they would give you a reading. There were snake vertebrae and, horns from something very little. I mean, I didn't even know what it was, but the readings seem to be organized by the universe to let that person give me insight onto what was going on. So I can imagine anything being used, but I also would think I'd want to be a little bit more familiar. If I was going to use shells, I'd like to know the shells' meanings. If I was going to use buttons, like IV buttons and O buttons, I would like to know the meanings a little bit more. But if you look around your room right now, you can give yourself a reading. The more clutter you have, the more stuff you have on your mind. And what is sitting in front that you haven't moved is something you need to deal with. I mean, we could do readings all the time. I remember a friend who used to punch their stereo or a button on the stereo, and they had like 500 songs or something, and they could tell what they needed to do by what song came out.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think it's important for me and for other people to get that your best readings come from outside of yourself. I personally see through a lens darkly, and when it's time for me to ask a question about my husband, my church, my books, my house, I get one of my students who now is a master to read for me. And it's really mm-hmm. important to get some outside help. Occasionally trivial or non-important things you can do your own reading for. I've also seen someone sit down with a deck of cards and read 32 times till they get the exact answer they want, you know? Yeah, exactly. I do a reading about this. Is this my boyfriend? Boom, boom, boom. Six readings later, oh, they finally figure out what
right.
this card says. So
how many times do I flip the coin, you know?
Right. Okay, it's going to be two out of three. Okay, it's going
right.
to be, you know. So please, people, when it comes to getting a reading, when it is an important life decisions, a crossroad, confirmation, get it with somebody else. Most likely somebody who doesn't know you that well. So they can talk to you and be
another
in that
thing,
moment.
You mentioned not knowing somebody. That's one thing I like about lithomancy readings because, you know, people call and they want a reading. They don't know me from Adam. They can see some references or whatever. So I always like to start a reading cold. I don't want anybody to tell me anything. I just want them to say drop or drop the stones because that allows me to start explaining the situation and where they're headed and what can be achieved quicker than they can explain the complexity of their situation that brought them there. So I like the fact that it's very visual in that sense. And you just like you were saying, it's reading signs around your room, around your life. It's exactly what I was doing in Europe, reading beer cans and how people set up the spoon and the cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. So do you teach any classes?
I was going to. It kind of fell through. I was going to teach them over here. I didn't get enough students at one time. Then I was going to teach them on Skype, and because of scheduling, I'm thinking about making a DVD course so people could buy it and explain the different ways to do readings and actually show some short readings for people, how I would interpret it. And in both my book and when I teach this, I've taught a couple of classes, but I always insist that people keep their minds open, develop their own system, see how their minds interpret symbolism. You know, they may see some other way to connect the stones visually, intuitively, and spiritually than I do. And that's all advantage. Just like you said, with the guy with the bones, you know, it's all symbolism. And if you turn into the symbolism, you can learn a lot. And you're right, when you want to learn an art, like you want to learn music, you want to know what the scales are, you want to learn to read stones, you want to learn kind of basically what they represent, sun, moon, Mercury, Mars, so forth. By the way, there's 10 planet stones, sun through Pluto, and there's 6 personal stones, love, life, luck, commitment, timing, and place. So, yeah, you want to learn a little about these. But then you dive in and you start experiencing, do readings for your friends, start seeing how you interpret symbolism, start letting yourself discover your own methods. Because there's always going to be a first reading.
I have seen things, and, you know, I was in New York, and I had an apartment in New York for several years, and this little highly dressed-up lady with, you know, the diamond rings and expensive purse and whole thing shows up at my apartment, and I kept seeing guns, and, you know, I mean, this woman, you know, looked like she hadn't been near a gun in 1,000 years, and I finally said to her, I couldn't believe, you know, she was like, you know, perfect Upper West Side lady, and I said to her, "Gun?" She goes, "Oh my God, I inherited these guns from my father, and I don't know what to do with them." And even as being psychic and looking at things that don't look like they belong, you have to trust your intuition to say them, because sometimes what doesn't look like it is there very, you know, that they're very big. And many, many times, and most of the times, readings aren't logical at all, you know.
Oh,
you'll start out in one direction and go three other different places and then come back to the middle of something else. And that following that intuition is very important, because if you let your mind get in the way,
I want to add something to that, Star. When I was going through this experience in 1977, this week of escalating psychic ability, right at the end of that week, I was feeling so enlightened one second and so terrified the next. It was just pulling me to extremes. And I did indeed, trying to think what you were just talking about, trust, believe, have faith, recognize that there's power there, and to sort of surrender and be at one with it, because sometimes the psychic powers come in ways that don't fit into logic. And I felt my logical mind reaching its max. It's like nothing could explain this in the logical mind anymore. And that's really where intuition lies. It does lie beyond logic. Maybe logic helps us sort it out and put the clues together, but it's not necessarily linear, logic tends to be.
And I guess for me, one of the biggest pieces was surrendering. Surrendering and let that psychic ability, because, you know, I guess that surrender happened to you at that point in time where you surrendered to it. And most people try to force it to come. And it's that ability comes when you relax and surrender. That's when you start getting really, really, really accurate. When I do teach a tarot class, my test for the people is the last reading, all the cards are upside down, and they can touch and feel the cards, and then they give the reading to the person or whatever, and then we turn the cards over after the reading is done and see how correct they are with the cards. And it's amazing after someone has played with one deck for, 6 or 7 months, how they know what the cards are and know what the energy is without even the cards being face up.
Absolutely.
And that's just so incredible. And I find that sometimes I have stupid things that come out of my mouth. I sat down with a friend, and a guy came up and sat at our table, and I go, "Why do you fall off so many roofs?" And he just dropped his mouth and said, "It was only 4 roofs that I fell off of." You know, and it doesn't sometimes make sense to me to say what I say, but when I do trust that, which is most of the time now, well, except sometimes around me, you know that one goes. I say stuff, and people are totally blown away by it because I have let that surrender happen so deeply. And it's not the cards, it's not the stones, it's the universe that presents itself through those things to you as the reader, and people get it. And then they don't get it. And you know, people say to me, "I don't want a reading because you're going to see all my secrets." Well, I don't look for people's secrets when I'm doing a reading. I'm just looking for what's happening. You know?
I'm sure you don't want to collect them either and carry them around in your mind. I let go of them as soon as the reading's over. It's like, that's why I record them, because I don't want to carry it around. It's not my job.
It's not my job either. And I don't really want to record of all the things that you've done. I had to pay attention to my own life and healing my own life. So that always amuses me. What is your most asked question?
Actually, it's probably from women, because y'all are very complex. I grew up with 6 brothers. I and I traveled a lot as a musician for many years, so I didn't ever make a commitment, and I never knew what women were about until I started getting about 40 and going, oh, you don't want to get married. You don't want to date forever. So I was the epitome of the guy who was clueless about making a commitment. And now I understand what a lot of women go through with men in that area and many other areas. And because I grew up with brothers, and I've always been mystified by feminine love, surrender, beauty, take care of kids, harmony, balancing, you know, not wanting to obliterate the competition, but wanting to seek, you know, consensus in relationships. I've always been fascinated by that. The tough side of men is all too apparent. Look at our world. Look at our military. Look at our wars. You know, it's not women out. It's not women out there fighting them. So I find that the most, a lot of times, probably the most common thing is women trying to understand relationships because they women don't realize that men are actually a lot simpler. And we tell you all that. You don't want to hear it, but it's true. We just uncomplicate a lot of things in that area. We sure complicate things in other areas, you know.
I can imagine. And, you know, to me, it's always interesting. When somebody asks, when am I going to meet my mate, I always see a mate somewhere in their future. And when a woman says something to me like, there are no men out there, is a man coming into my life, I don't see a man. You know, because there's something about that attitude. There are no good men out there, or I'll never love again, or when am I going to meet my mate? 99% of the time, I do see somebody for them in their future. Just by their very question, it is for me to predict whether there's someone there for them or not. And I think mate and path, am I on the right path? Mate and path have to be my two most asked questions, unlike the 90s when it was, when am I going to win the lottery? And, you know, what was the other one they were always asking me? There was another question that irritated me. I guess I've
surrendered. Well, I kind of agree with you. I get the same thing, relationships and path, because it really is true. And I wanted to, you'll appreciate this, Star. About a month ago, I was talking to a lady, and she said, oh, my soulmate, I want to meet my soulmate. And I said, would you like it if I could give you his address and phone number? She said, yeah. I said, you'd probably go over and try to meet him, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, you'd be a stalker instead of a potential mate because the time's not right. You have to be, the timing has to be right for whatever mystical reasons it is. But, yeah, relationships and the path, that's, like you, that's probably the most common things. And I think human sexuality and love and the male and female and the complexities of it are, you know, they're certainly one of the biggest challenges of being human, you know, because we all think we're a little... It is, yeah. We all think we're a little bit weirder about sex and love than everybody else, and we're all weird. So let's get over it, you know.
I don't know what normal means anymore, you know. Hey, I don't have any normal friends. And I guess, what is your pet peeve in readings?
I think, and I've had this several times, people refusing to accept, and that's fine, but asking me the same question over and over and over in three or four different ways. Sometimes someone wants some information about something, and they haven't even decided what it is they want to the information about. Like, you know, I'm not sure which direction I want to go in my life and career. I'm thinking about five different things. Can you tell me about all the people I'll meet along the way in all five careers? I mean, come on, give me a break. You know?
I guess for me, my pet peeve is when people bring in pictures of their neighbors or their daughter-in-law, and they want to know everything they can about their neighbors or their daughter-in-law instead of working on themselves. And, some, you know, I do answer a few questions about, you know, when somebody does bring in a picture, I especially check if there's, you know, karma where they need to be enemies or they need to correct something. But a reading is about you. When you go for a reading, don't expect us to read everybody in your family, your neighbors and your boss's family. A reading is for you personally. That's where we can be the most accurate.
That's true.
Because
I pick up things about the people, but it always resolves around to how the person I'm talking to is going to deal with it or can deal with it, because that's what it's about.
Okay, we're going to come up to the half-hour break right now, so everybody take a deep breath.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
The number is 646-716-9663. All right. Mark, how we doing there?
I'm going to go take a call right now and get their name and everything, so I'll let you guys talk for a little bit. I'll be right back.
All righty. And have you done readings? Wow. Have you done readings in other languages?
I did a little bit in Spanish. I speak a little Danish, but the people in Denmark speak English much better than I could ever speak Danish. So I do a little bit in Spanish, but I find I just don't have the vocabulary I'd like. I actually did a reading for a lady who was deaf twice, actually, and they had to watch my lips. So I had to, make it not... didn't want to use the most complicated words in the English language. I wanted to make it clear and simple. So, there's kind of different ways I've been depending on the situation. But I always do the best I can. Even if someone's kind of being a pest, I basically want to make it a thrilling experience for me at least. So I'm going to do the best job I can. While you're here, I'm going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done it. I do in Polish and in Spanish, and I've lived in about 16 different countries. So, okay, do we have that caller yet?
Yeah, hold on for 1 second. We're going to go ahead and bring Cindy on. Cindy,
Hi.
You're on with Gary and Star.
Hi there.
Hi, Cindy. What is your question?
First of all, I was enjoying listening to your talk about telling people things and them not listening. Then they ask the same question 4 times. I won't do that.
Okay. Can you give us your question, darling?
Yeah. I have a house. I have a house for sale that I've moved out of, actually, and I bought another house. Can you tell me when that house might sell?
Gary?
I feel like you're just putting it on the market now. You're going to find a lot of things in the next couple of weeks about its worth, value, and so forth, and probably make some changes about it. And about the third and fourth week, it feels to me like your promotion is best. And I wouldn't be surprised if by the sixth and seventh week, it's either in contract or you know how you're going to go about selling it. But I certainly feel by the ninth and twelfth week here, you're going to come out of this pretty fortunate. So even if things seem slow now or heavy or serious or confusing, that's
mm-hmm.
a passing thing. Because it's also going to help you. The same confusion you feel and weight and responsibility is also what's going to really make a lot of things come alive for you in this new coming up in your life here with love and with communication and with, like, new business plans or expansion plans that you have or you in relationships and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I feel like by the fifth and sixth week here, things are probably falling in play pretty well for the other house. You just have to do some work here in the first week or so, too, getting all the information and compiling it and that sort of thing. Does that make sense, my dear?
Yeah, the house has been on the market for about a year, but I live on an island, and the selling season is usually only about this time of year into the fall because it's the summer people who buy the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I say sold between June 15th and by September 5th. Remember that when you have that price on it, that they're going to want a 10% discount or they're going to want to wheel and deal you down to feel good about buying it. Make
yep.
sure that you have that buffer in your price.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, and that secret romance you've had in your heart, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That will come to fruition this year.
Oh, terrific.
Okay.
I've been waiting.
I know you have. All right, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Have a good day, dear.
So she gets to sell the house and a relationship, too.
Yeah, but not at the same time.
Yeah, well, it's two big things to deal with. I don't know if you'd want to do those in the same week anyways. All right, Eric, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. What is your question?
Hello, Star Gary. I would just like to see if you see anything notable. I'm looking for change in my life, and whether it be a new relationship or career change. Do you see anything coming up in the near future?
Gary?
Well, I tell you what, brother, I've been charging these stones up, and if you just say drop, I'll tell you what I see for the next couple months in about 3 minutes, okay?
Okay. Drop.
There you go. Well, actually, you're just now getting some bravery back in yourself after kind of going through a lot of intensity, you know, whether it's having to do with place or hopes or dreams and that sort of thing. You're about to enter this cycle in the next week to 2 weeks where you really kind of feels like making up for lost time. You feel this urge to grow and to expand. And there's certainly some educational things in there that could help you a lot. It's not necessarily going to school, but it's learning a lot of opportunities, a lot of alternatives for your life where you've and even considering what you've gone through emotionally and so forth, it's almost like helping you reinvent yourself in the next couple weeks. Because by the third and fourth week, it feels like not only have you done that and brought a lot of luck to yourself, but you've got this sense of balance and harmony within yourself that attracts love toward you. As I was saying earlier about keys find me instead of me finding my keys. I don't know if you heard that, but getting your resonance up here. Because you got a lot of great energy at the very top of this. So let the past be the past. And really take advantage of what you're doing in these next couple weeks as organization and so forth. Because from the 6th to the 12th week on, in a nutshell, you get emotionally a lot more charged. It feels like you're attracting mates to yourself again. You've gone through a lot of changes. It's helped you with communication. It's helped you with being able to almost like see new commitments for yourself, like what you expect out of yourself. And by the 9th to the 12th week here, you're going to be actually moving toward these new dreams. So really turn the on switch on full blast because you've given yourself a clearing. Take advantage of it. It's like you've created a takeoff zone. Get in the plane and fly, brother, and just discover where you want to go. A lot of possibilities. Look around.
Wonderful.
Okay.
University information.
Great, sweetie. I see something in your system, an herb, a prescription drug, something in your system that needs to change. Are you aware what this is?
I don't take any type of
okay.
prescription. The only thing I take is vitamins, and there is this, the only thing I wouldn't say prescription, this is new agey experimental thing that I'm taking, but it's not.
Okay, I want you to stop that.
Okay.
There is something in that is holding your vibration back. It is good for people who need to, that integrating and stuff. You went through all the stuff. You're done with your integrating. You need to move on. You need to do all the things that Gary talked about, but that thing has to be gone. It is not appropriate for you, and it feels like tacks or thorns on a rose bush to me in your system, and I can see that. So let that go.
I will.
As Gary said, will happen. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate the great reads. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, have a good evening, brother.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
What a great voice. You could do voiceovers.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah,
who's next?
It sounded really good. We're good for now. Star, if it's okay with you, I'd like to ask Gary a couple questions about his journey.
I would love for you to do that. Go ahead.
Okay, I got two questions for you, Gary. The first one is the easy one, and that is, what is it like when you initially learned how to use, like, playing cards to do a reading? What was that initially? Like, did you throw down cards once and all of a sudden you saw stuff? Or I always wondered about that because I always get a kick out of it.
I kind of relate a lot of things to music because it's a learned art. I was the only one in my family who was interested in music, and I started playing guitar, and I learned one chord and then another. In fact, I used to hold the guitar down in my lap like a lap steel until I realized, oh, you hold it up like Elvis does, huh? You know, or way before Elvis. So anyway, it's techniques. It's learning. No, you don't start with a card, and then one day all of a sudden, bam, or an onslaught of information. You learn how to pick it up. You learn one step at a time, one note at a time, one nuance at a time. The things that make that happen, in my opinion, are curiosity, determination, as Star was saying, being at peace, being balanced. You know, when you get all irritated and frustrated, you know, you close the door on the light. So the light likes you to be in the light. And when you put yourself in the light and you allow yourself to realize that you have this potential and you start working on one little thing at a time. I did these experiments where I'd pick out four cards and lay them on a table, and I'd turn around and someone would point at one of them, and then I'd turn around and put my hand over each of the cards and see if I could feel which one they did. And when I'd go over that card, I'd have everybody mentally going, that's it, that's it, that's it. When I went over another card, nothing. And you could practice it. I did a lot of experiments in the 70s before I started giving readings about how to actually pick up your own methodology. And in 1977, when I went through that experience, it was verified to the nth degree.
That's
powerful.
Does that make sense? Yes, it does. I work with a lot of Oracle decks and everything, and I enjoy doing that. But I have a couple of friends that I know that actually use a playing card deck, and I always get a kick out seeing people actually do that, you know. Not that there should be really any difference spiritually about it, but I see that go down. And 3D reality, I think it's actually pretty hilarious to watch how amazing it is that, you know, it's like it proves right at that level that it's like, look, this is intuition and this is what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead and finish your sentence, Gary.
I was just going to say it's basically getting at a pace and trusting your intuition and relaxing. It's not a hard it's the opposite of work. You know, it's peace and patience. Go ahead.
Okay, great. You had said, for my second question here, you had said in the earlier part of your life you had a chance to be gifted temporarily with ability to see what was going on with your conscious and your unconscious. And I was wondering if you could kind of share with us the top three things that you noticed when you were able to have both sides of that equation in front of you.
Well, a thing that became that first I became aware of, and this is I write in my book, over the first day or so, I'd know what someone was going to say just a moment before they'd say it. And many times I'd say, did you just say that? And they said, no. And I'd think, wow, I thought I heard that. So I start actually hearing things that people were saying before they'd say them. It got to the point I could sit out on the street and close my eyes and hear a car coming up the hill and imagine the color of the car, who was driving, the license plate, and be able to tell people right next to me in front of witnesses what it was like. So I went so extreme. But once it started getting pretty different from the day before, I realized I was no longer living in a normal world. Psychic ability, for some reason, had just completely taken over, and I didn't have the off switch. I didn't get it. It was subtle, but not subtle. It was ongoing, 24/7. So I guess my point is, I know it's there, and if we allow ourselves to see it, because I had no choice, it just overtook me. So And not knowing where the off switch was, I thought, well, I have to let this play its hand, whatever it is, you know. And I'm glad it did, because of the most enlightening experience in my life. But the moral of that story is it happens over time with little subtle things. In that particular period, it was less subtle, there was still subtlety there because I was picking up things that actually people around me didn't see, you know, or didn't know about, but I did. So they're out there in the universe. I just happened to grab them a little bit quicker than normal.
Okay, one last question. Yeah, it does. One last question as it relates to some of you, what you've been sharing this evening. You said you were out of your body because of an accident. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the experience you saw for that quick time period?
Well, the first thing I saw I was outside of my body watching this body tumble around getting smashed by this car. And I felt some association with it, but kind of distant, too, almost like, well, that's what happens on Earth. You know, no big deal. I'm leaving Earth. That's just what happens. I didn't think about it being me, even though I kind of looked at it like, meh, looks like me. And then I started expanding outward. This is the most incredible sensation I've ever had in my life. Well, one of them in this series. I started spreading outward in all directions like a balloon. I was not going out like an arrow. I was going expanding. And it's psychically and spiritually, of course, because my body's down in the middle of the street with a bunch of people screaming. And within no time, I'd forgotten about the accident. It was just mind blown by these galaxies and stars and planets going inside of me getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And things were happening faster and faster. But at the same time, I could pick up a little meaning from everything I was passing, every planet, every thought. I saw a lot of connections to people. I saw this, what I call the invisible web, where everybody was connected. I saw almost like a cloud around the whole planet that had to do with all our, like the Akashic records, you know, all our thoughts and actions, because they kind of linger around this realm, because here's where they're going to be worked out. How much is visually there? How much is in a different dimension? It's, you know, it's impossible to describe because there's so many multi-dimensions going on. But as I expanded outward, I got to the edge of the universe finally, and it appeared as a thought, nothing but a thought. And this is only one of infinite universes. And once you get out that side, there's no such thing as time. It's impossible to understand when we're stuck here in bodies going through linear time. But when you're timeless, the past, present, and future are all the same. So there are, in some senses, paradoxes, because the way we look at things in a human mind in a linear world, they don't exist out there like that, you know. They exist here like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. You know, just to share with everybody before I ask my own personal question, you know, with all the years of experience that you have, what do you think is the most instrumental spiritual tool that you've used, you know?
Well, as far as psychically, I kind of use cards and stones and intuition, and sometimes, like I was saying earlier, beer cans or whatever I use on a table. My main point of reference, if that's what you were implying, is always going back to the infinite mind. I always think in terms of so close but so far away, I guess you could say.
I'm just kind of thinking about your own spiritual growth. What's been the thing that's moved you the furthest as far as your own growth? You know, some people would say that's meditation.
Oh, absolutely, meditation, being calm. And I was late to learn to meditate. My psychic friend who taught me kept saying, Gary, you got to meditate. And once I started doing it seriously about 10, 15 years ago, it's like, it does make a difference, you know. I'm a pretty energetic double Scorpio, so I have to learn to put myself at peace, you know. But yeah, meditation, being aware that there's always a smarter way to do things and a not smarter way to do things, and that you can think before you react, you know, and that there are a lot of different ways to respond, and so maybe the best way to respond is the best good for all rather than just the best good for me. So there's a lot of, I guess, virtues, precepts, techniques, ideas that since that experience have been very important for me. And if the world agrees or disagrees, that's fine and dandy. I can only do what I do. And I know from my own karmic and spiritual responsibility, I just, you know, you love your brother. You forgive. You grow. You evolve. You help. You care. You have compassion. You have empathy. You know, You strive to be a Mother Teresa or a Jesus Christ rather than a, you know, Bernie Madoff.
You know, for me it was knowing when to do something or when to be. You know, knowing when I just had to be silent. Just like in music, the silence is just as important as the notes. And sometimes
Absolutely.
Our mind will think, and it will ruin whatever energy is happening at that moment. So when do you be and when do you do is probably one of my most instrumental tools in becoming who I am. Gary, can you tell us your website, please?
Tell you my website?
Yep.
Yeah, it's GaryWimmer.com. GaryWimmer.com. That's my
home. And you're available
for
readings, correct? And you do shows and parties and cruises and you do movies. Do you come play music at people's houses?
Well, I've been a musician and a psychic since my whole life, a musician since I was 15, and that's way back, and, you know, I'm 66, so it was a while ago. I started giving readings in the 70s, so most of my life has been in music and giving readings. About 10 years ago, I came back from Europe, 15 years ago now, and got into the film community here, acting and writing and doing screenplays and working on movies, but there's not quite enough, you know, work as an actor. I'm not a technical guy. I'm not a financier. So I was kind of looking at it from the point of acting and writing. And, you know, I do a little bit of acting still. I certainly write a lot. But I've done my share of free gigs and extra gigs. You know, someone wants me to act. What's the budget? I'm a fairly good actor because I've always been very expressive as a musician. And, you know. One thing I had to learn about acting is small is big, you know. Don't move my hands and arms and face like I do when I'm, you know, on stage playing music, you know.
Yes, and the energy you run is a lot different than being center stage.
It sure is.
It's important. So people like Gary out there who have 35, 40 years of experience doing things, and look at me with 50 years, at 75 years old, doing this since the 50s.
Congratulations, my dear. That's quite a mark. I tip my hat, my head to you.
Yeah, get some people with some experience to do your readings. Let someone sit with you who has dealt with a lot of their own energies and has seen the changes of the decades. You can come for a confirmation. You can come to find out what's going on. You can come to get directions. Please pay attention so you can support us so that we can continue to give readings to people and have that time in between where we can eat and sleep and buy books and do the things we like. For example, you can support Gary by going to his website, GaryWimmer.com, and you can support me. I have a wonderful new video class on DNA, and it is especially nice for clearing your own lineage, the things that your family brings to you, the traits that your family has given you to overcome, to experience, to heal. It's a wonderful class. I also have a class for healers on the female breast. It is important that when people have tumors or different lumps on their breast that you can get to the core issue and the original cause of what energies helped to develop that breast. And that breast class is also up on my website. So take a minute and run back through the show and the things that Gary and I have said. Take a minute and how do you see your life? What psychic abilities do you use? What psychic abilities do you train? And what do you need to know? Gary, what would you like to tell the people listening?
Probably the main thing I think people should be aware of is you only have power over the moment. You don't have power over the past. It's done. And at every moment in time, you get to choose whether you see the world as screwing with you or enlightening you. It's pretty much that simple. So if you choose to see it enlightening you, and it's a choice, and yeah, you have to make that choice sometimes when things are difficult, because when they're happening great, we don't question it. It's when things are tough, we have a lot more questions. Maybe that's why I've had a lot of questions my whole life, because I've always been curious and struggling. But always keep your mind open, and the moment is what you have control over. Not necessarily the situation, but how you react to it. You know, how you think, how you feel it. And if you see it as enlightening, then you'll know the next step toward enlightenment. And if you see it as screwing with you, you'll probably see verification of that again until you shift into the enlightening status. So it's, I guess the decision of the moment is what the thing that's been my mantra in the last year or two. As I get older, I realize I only got this second. You know, I better enjoy it. It's my moment.
Mm-hmm. Good. So people, pay attention. Pay attention what your emotions are, and know that you and you alone can change that, that you are in charge of how you react to the situation, that you can be in the light or you can be some other place. What was the word you used, Gary? I kind of like that. So pay attention to your life. Remember that energy follows thought, so that every thought is a prayer. Stop praying for things you don't want in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
And picture Gary in his life and how he had that experience being hit by the car and how he was an observer and how in his life his psychic abilities were turned on the highest volume possible, and he couldn't find a volume knob to turn it down, and how he's gotten to a place where he can sing, he can write, he can be involved in films, and he can do readings. And he has honed and tuned his psychic abilities so that he can be accurate and comprehensive. And then there's me. Yay. MasterYourLight.com. I can do many, many things. I have 480 different workshops I teach. I have 8 or 9 books out there. I don't know how many things there are on my website for you to do, to play with. And Master Your Light, you'll find a bunch of cool free things to do. You can support me on Stage It. You can support me on my radio show, and you can become my patron on Patreon, and maybe not my friend on Facebook, because I think I have too many, but you can like me on my business page. So support and heal and get some support for yourself. Gary, final words now?
Well, I tell you, it's sure been a pleasure to be with you, Star. It really has been, and I love your energy, and I certainly admire all your experience and your writings and the fact that you've been around the block a couple times, girl.
And Gary, thank you for being with us and all you do in, I think it's Austin, Texas, isn't it, where you're living right now?
Correct.
And
correct.
You can go to Gary's website and get a reading from him, GaryWimmer.com, and you can come to my website. So everyone take a deep breath.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.